Good morning. As we've already heard, the Pentecost story has some difficult to explain dynamics. The room was filled with a sound like a violent wind. Divided tongues of fire appeared resting on each believer. Individuals speaking languages they didn't know. And in the end, 3,000 new baptized believers. There's another dynamic that's difficult to explain, and Spring alluded to this, how Peter could stand up in the midst of this dramatic scene he had never before experienced and connect the dots so eloquently and accurately. Let's go back 50 days before Pentecost, which is what the word means, 50. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he taught about the coming Holy Spirit, and Peter must have been paying attention. John 14, 1 to 10, Jesus emphasized that his ministry was not about him, but rather about God who sent him. Verses 11 to 14, Jesus is saying, "You're impressed with what I've done? If you believe in me, you will do even greater things. Now that I'm going back to the Father, it will be about what God is doing through you." Verses 15 to 26, it's as if Jesus is saying, "This seems impossible, doesn't it? Not to worry. My Father will send the Holy Spirit to always be with you, to help and teach you. The Spirit will remind you of what I have taught you." Verse 27, question is stressing out about the changes that are ahead. Jesus is saying to his disciples, "Don't worry. I give you my peace, the kind of peace that only I can give. It isn't like the peace that the world can give. So don't be worried or afraid." Chapter 15 of John, 26 to 27, "You're going to be taking over my ministry, testifying on my behalf throughout the world." And then in chapter 16, 7 to 15, again, "The Spirit will guide you into all truth." That was all 50 days before Pentecost, during the Passover festival. Let's fast forward to just 10 days before Pentecost. That's when Jesus ascended. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says to his disciples just before he departed, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Peter must have caught Jesus' point. In a few days, something big is going to happen. And it did. On the 50th day after Passover, Jerusalem was full of Jews from far away. It was the festival of Shavuot, celebrating the end of the spring grain harvest. There were more than 100 of Jesus' followers gathered in that place. Luke describes what happened. There was a sound of a mighty wind. Individual tongues of fire rested on each believer, not just on the 12 disciples, on 100 of Jesus' followers. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Greek word there for filled is very straightforward. To be completely filled. To fill completely, which implies the whole person was filled, body, emotions, mind. This is a good illustration of the difference between the New Revised Standard Version and the Contemporary English translation. The NRSV is the most accurate. The Greek word there means literally filled, to be completely filled. But we don't use that today commonly. in referring to people. We fill a glass with water. We fill a stadium with people. We fill a flower bed with plants. But we don't talk a lot about filling a person. So the contemporary English version removes the need to explain how a person can be filled and just translates it, the Holy Spirit took control of everyone. They didn't just pull that out of a hat. That actual language is used elsewhere in Acts frequently. The Holy Spirit took control of everyone. The story is clear. It was both an individual and a gathered experience. The Spirit took control of each individual believer, and the Spirit took control of the community of believers. Jesus' church began by demonstrating this paradox, which has challenged the church ever since. An experience which is at the same time both individual, personal, and communal. Some of us will return to the meeting place for worship in 2 weeks on June 6. I encourage all of us to allow the Holy Spirit to work among us in the same way. May we experience unity as one body, though worshiping in the building, or many who will still worship through a virtual link in our homes. May we respect the needs of each individual, and yet also encourage the communal dynamic. It seems impossible because our expectations are so varied. But unity happens among diverse individuals when we allow the Spirit to take control. That's the story of Pentecost. Pentecost was obviously a God thing, as Jesus taught his disciples it would be. Peter wasted no time in standing up and explaining to all. Why? Because he was a leader. And leaders help us connect the dots. Leaders help us name reality. The Spirit was in control. The Spirit was the authority. But leadership was needed to name reality, to help people understand what was happening. Peter proclaimed, "This is a God thing. This is what the prophet Joel said would happen. God's Spirit would empower all of God's people, young and old, men and women. All means all." Though Peter had never seen this before, he instantly recognized it as an on earth, as it is in heaven, reality. Secondly, Jesus taught his disciples on the night he was betrayed that they would do even greater things than he had done in his ministry, greater things happened at the first Pentecost. Thousands heard the good news in their own language. 3,000 were baptized. The rest of Acts tells the story of how the church kept growing by thousands more. If you read Acts carefully, you'll see growth statistics embedded periodically throughout the narrative. Luke must have considered that important for his readers to know. I guess Luke missed the memo that circulates freely among churches in decline today. The subject line of that memo is, "It's not about the numbers." this group of timid, fearful men and women with prices on their heads suddenly went public, boldly proclaiming the good news and healing people at great risk to themselves everywhere, a mere 50 days after Jesus' resurrection. How can this be? How can this be? It's because the Spirit took control of everyone. The Spirit's fingerprints are all over Acts, teaching, reminding, sending, filling, connecting, empowering. Acts sounds like one stressful situation after another. Arrests, court appearances, prison terms, stonings, shipwrecks, angry mobs. But as Luke tells the story, Jesus' followers seem to remain calm and collected. They experienced peace in the midst of chaos and new experiences, singing in prison, forgiving their executioners, testifying boldly before powerful political authorities. Sounds like peace that is beyond my understanding. The precise peace that Jesus promised. How can this be? The Holy Spirit took control of everyone. Yes, they were possessed by the Spirit. Now, I'm sure most of us recoil at that language. We want to be in charge. Who wants to be a glassy-eyed, brainwashed cult devotee? But that's not how Luke portrays Peter being controlled by the Spirit at Pentecost. Peter was still Peter in all his glory, in all of his bold, expressive, dynamic, what you see is what you get personality. Peter was still Peter. The difference? His complete self, his intellect, his personality were now under the influence of the Holy Spirit. His complete self, who he was, now guided into truth, divinely inspired to dynamically communicate the good news of God's reign, targeted specifically to the people in that crowd on that day. It's time for a fact check. While we likely struggle with the concept of being controlled, the reality is that we are all controlled by something or someone or multiple forces if we accept our humanity. We can be controlled by family, friends, work, a relationship, chemicals, food, sex, sports, keeping up an image, exercise, resistance to exercise, a physical or emotional illness, a belief system, political allegiance, worldviews, past accomplishments or past mistakes, fear of or unrealistic expectations of the future. It's time to confess. As I went through that list, how many of us strayed into thinking about someone else? Boy, you've got that right. She's controlled by a political allegiance. He's controlled by trying to keep up an image. She's controlled by her mother. He's controlled by something amazing he did 40 years ago. If we can so clearly identify this in others, how can it not be true of ourselves? We need others. We need our brothers and sisters to help us see ourselves as God sees us. The Holy Spirit, the very presence of the divine in our life, is the only power which can control us without harming us. It's not an on-off switch. It's a journey, a direction, which as we move along, allowing the Spirit to be in control of more in our life, we will realize that it is the only way to find true joy and peace in life. I've heard a few such testimonies here at Mennonite Church of Normal. Please share such testimonies with others. Acts is the story of a church that began at Pentecost when the Spirit took control of Jesus' followers and never stopped being in control. If the book of Acts becomes our pattern, we will open ourselves to the control and call of the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts is our pattern. We will be confused, but we'll be confused about greater things and have peace in the midst of confusion. If the book of Acts is our pattern, we will have conflicts, but the conflicts will be about greater things. If the book of Acts is our pattern, we will take risks and fail sometimes, but we'll be failing at attempting greater things. Pentecost story has a number of difficult to explain dynamics, precisely because of the one thing that is clear. The Spirit took control of everyone. When that happens, there'll be lots of things we can't explain. The Holy Spirit is in the process of taking control at Mennonite Church of Normal. The Holy Spirit has provided a unifying direction. The Holy Spirit has provided a new way to be church together, which empowers everyone to minister. Greater things are happening. Some of us will say, I'm tired. I can't do any more. No problem. Greater things does not mean doing more things. Greater things most likely means doing fewer things, because our focus is more on being than doing. Greater things happen when we focus and work together. Greater things happen when we understand who we are and know where we are headed. Greater things happen when we are clear and confident of our passion, spiritual gift, and callings. Let's be individual disciples under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Let's be a congregation under the influence of the Holy Spirit.